its return, Teacher Feature, after just a brief sabbatical. We had a lot of folks at the end of summer taking vacation, and school year is in full swing, if you hadn't heard. And I think officially our first guest, actually, for this new school year, we mentioned just before the break, and we want to welcome her in. Her name is Nancy Duenhager, and hi, Nancy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. I want to mention that you've been actually around the system for a little while now, but your present gig is over at Loring. You've been there since about 1999, so a little more than 10 years, right?
Yes, my 11th year there. It's just a great school. I love teaching there.
Okay, and your focus is physical education, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, we've had a number of Phi Ed teachers in, and it seems like I had one fella in here not too long ago talking about online applications and IBs and things like that, mm-hmm. for Phi Ed. You have a little different take on it yourself, right?
Yeah. What I've tried to do in the last few years is integrate math into my curriculum. And our school is a TAP school, which is a teacher advancement program school. And what that means is that we have small cluster meetings every week. And a mentor teacher comes in and brings a concept or a strategy in. And then we take that to our classroom and implement it. And a few years back, the focus was on math, and now it's on reading. But when it was on math, we had a great mentor teacher, Michael Templeton, would come in, and he would present the strategy and a game for the kindergarten teachers. And I was in the kindergarten cluster. So they would take that back to their classroom and play the game. And what I would do is I would take that same game and turn it into a large motor skill game. Mm-hmm. And so, and then we'd come back and discuss it. And so some examples would be a game of more or less, where I would have the kids give them each small handful of chips, and then we would turn some music on, and they'd skip, or we'd do locomotor skills, which is the Phi Ed part. And then when the music stopped, they went in the hula hoop, and they paired and shared, you know, how many chips they had. They'd have to use their counting skills and their, you know, their math skills to figure out who had more and who had less.
So now you say chips. I know you're not talking about the kind you eat, right?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a little counterproductive.
Yeah, I think they'd probably
right?
eat too many of those on the way. No, I just use like little like poker chips or something like that.
So basically you're trying to influence or instigate an idea that rhythm and numbers and, you know, all that sort of what we think of as rote type things, there's a strong connection between that and physical learning, huh? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that too. And just how math integrates into Phi Ed so nicely. We also did a game about subitizing. Subitizing is just a real fancy name for looking at a domino and seeing how many dots there are without counting.
Oh.
And that's a great organization for kids. It just helps them in the long run. And so I've done some games with subitizing with the kids. And for the older kids, I've what I've started this year is when they come into the gym now, mm-hmm. I hand them a card, and this was something I got from the teacher's workshop this fall, and they have a card with either multiplication or adding on it, and when the music's loud, they jog around the gym, and then when the music is low, they pair and share with someone and talk okay. about the, you know, what the answer is. And what I like about it is that I always put them in groups because I don't want them to think, oh, we're coming to Phi Ed, and we're doing math. And I don't, and sometimes Phi Ed is the place where the kids really shine. That's the only place in the whole day that they feel comfortable. And I don't want to think of, you know, having them think, oh, you know, we're doing math. So I'm trying to do skills that they can do with groups so that they feel comfortable working on math skills and working on Phi Ed skills.
Do you hear those little groans once in a while? Nobody told us there was going to be math.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring my calculator. I thought I was going to work out in gym clothes or whatever, huh?
Yeah, I was, with the cards coming in, they just haven't been used to it. You know, and at our school, most classes only have Phi Ed once a week for 55 minutes. So it's like they're starting to think, well, why are we doing this? But I'm like, you're going to jog anyway, so why don't we do something while you're jogging? And it's kind of nice because we jog for maybe 45 seconds, and then they're able to walk and pair and share, where the kids who aren't really into the jogging know, well, okay, I only have to go for 45 seconds, and then I can walk.
Okay. So. Now, what age group are we talking about here?
Well, I do the pair share with first grade up to our fifth grade. Our school is high five to fifth grade.
Okay. It sounds like you're a pretty well-rounded person yourself. Do you have a background in math? I mean, a lot of people don't realize this, but when someone becomes a Phi Ed teacher, they didn't go to college and only study PE, right? I mean, you obviously have more to you than
actually all the math. I learned through just sitting in on classes and listening to the classroom teachers talk, or I'll go up to their room and say, hey, I want to do this. How can I do it in my classroom? You know, this skill they're doing in their classroom, or they'll come and say, hey, can you do something in your class, you know, with that?
Okay. How much does the district encourage you to come up with things like that, come up with ideas of your own and implement creative strategies? Is that something you feel like you're pretty free to do all the time with things like that?
Yeah, in Phi Ed especially. We have, Minneapolis has standards, and so we just have to make sure that the kids fill the standards. We don't necessarily have a curriculum, like a math curriculum, that we have to follow step by step. So that's nice because we're able to fill our standards, do our standards, but we can do the standards any way we want.
Okay. Tell us a bit about Loring. You mentioned the TAP. I'm intrigued by that for folks who don't know
a little bit
more about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The TAP, this is our third year of doing TAP. And the first year was reading, and this last two are the first year was math, last two were reading.
Okay.
And each cluster is mostly grade level, and a mentor teacher is assigned to our building, and she comes in and with a lesson or a strategy, and she'll share that strategy with the teachers, and then from there we'll take that and go to the classroom and implement it, and then when we come back we'll talk about what worked, what didn't work, what can we add on to that, you know, like that.
Is it a community school? Is it a Loring community itself, a downtown environment type thing? Or
well, actually, we're on like 44th and Sheridan.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, so we're
okay.
North side. I think we're one of the far north schools.
Okay. Well, our guest is, if you're just tuning in, it's Teacher Feature. We do it every Monday at 5:10. Nancy Duenhager, and she is involved, as we've been talking about, at Loring, teaching physical ed with a bit of a math bent to it. We'll find out just a bit more about her background and some other things she might have planned for these kids in the future for this year. And if you are interested in commenting, we're always interested in hearing your thoughts. Actually, you can get a hold of us at jazz88fm.com. And studio at jazz88fm.com if you want to drop an email to us. Also want to mention support for this feature comes in part from Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Stick around. We got a couple more minutes to spend here with Nancy Duenhager as our guest, and she is teaching Phi Ed over at Loring School in our very neighborhood. Been doing it since about 1999, and talked a little bit, Nancy, about some of the things you've implemented, and you mentioned off mic something else you wanted to talk about, the LCC. Can you tell us what that is, first of all?
Sure. It's our Loring Community Council, which is our PTO.
It's like an advisory board type thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they needed a staff member to join, so I said, well, okay, I'll do it. And I went to the first meeting, and we had like seven people there, and four of them were officers. So I thought, oh, we have to do something to get more parents involved.
Sure.
So I thought we started offering tours of the classroom. And then we started to get a few more people. And then after that, we decided we'd have a guest speaker, too. So now we go to the room and a guest speaker. And before that, the meetings were just talking about fundraising and volunteering. So after that, we still didn't get enough people. I wanted more people because, you know, research shows that if your parents are involved, the kids are going to do better at school. So I'm thinking, how else can we do it? So I started advertising the meetings.
Oh.
And I said, okay, if you can get an adult in your family to come, I'm going to give you 20 minutes of extra Phi Ed time the next week. And so on Thursday, we had a meeting, and we had over 45 parents or adults in the family come, and tomorrow I'll be giving 20 minutes of extra gym time to 60 kids.
Nothing like a little incentive to get them going.
Yeah,
huh?
So it's turning out to be a nice little meeting, and the parents get to meet each other, and you see the parents in the hall, and you know who they belong to. It's just an all-around good thing.
It's also a lesson in the value of word-of-mouth advertising, right?
Yeah, I start like on Tuesday in the lunchroom at for lunch and breakfast, and I start saying, hey, if you can get somebody to come, it's, you know, your 20 minutes. And yeah. I always stress, too, that if they can't make it that week, there's always next week or next month, because there's always the parents who can't make it, and so there's always another month for them to come.
Well, I also appreciate you mentioned fundraising and funding in general. I think there's a misperception among people that schools are totally funded, everything's covered, and you guys are really kind of doing good work in that area, just trying to get, you know, money coming in to pay for some of these programs and such. Is that something you enjoy about the job? Or
actually, the fundraising part is we added two new fundraisers last year. I don't really like when the kids have to go out and sell something,
right.
But
it's part of
being in a school.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, how can we have fundraisers without? So we did Turkey Bingo last year, and we also started, we did a read-a-thon, or, you know, for reading, and for that, for the incentive to read more and to donate the money, we also gave away free Phi-Ed time. The class who earned the most had Phi-Ed. So we're not only promoting reading, but there's also fitness involved.
Okay,
and instead
sure.
of offering food for the kids or something like that.
Yeah, it's a little harder, I think. It's less tangible. Normal classes, you've got homework, so you can kind of keep track of what people are doing. How do you encourage your kids to do what they're doing, to follow up with what they're doing? Do you keep track of that, or you just say, go home and do some of this stuff that I've taught you in the classroom?
It's more of you put it out there, and if they come back and say they did that. Last spring, we did a version of Capture the Flag Night at Loring After
That's
School.
An old classic game.
Yeah, and it was great. It was more of a community building thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights we had 40 kids from Loring and from the neighborhood just playing, and it was so nice to see that kids could play, 40 kids could play for 45 minutes with very minor arguments and just play like we used to do when we were kids.
Sure. Yeah, we used to have epic Capture the Flag and hide and seek too.
Yeah,
and
totally. Yep.
Something else we called pom-pom wars, but that was a different era. Well, quickly, I wanted to, are you from the region? We did want to delve a little bit into your background. Are you a Minnesota native? Did you grow up in this area?
Yeah, I grew up in Brooklyn Center, and I went to Park Center High School and North Dakota State for college.
And you've taught elsewhere in the district, right? Besides
yeah,
Lawrence?
I was at Wilder EEC, which was on the south side. I taught there for 10 years. It was kind of funny because when I graduated from college, I thought I was going to be this big high school coach and teach at the high school. And I ended up at a preschool special ed, second grade, and I absolutely loved it.
So that was your original goal, was to just coach?
Right, coach and teach at the high school, yeah.
Okay.
And, but Loring School is just—it's just a wonderful school, wonderful staff, great parents and kids at the school. It's just a nice place to teach. Okay. I love it there.
And if folks want to find out more about your program there at Loring, can they just go right to the school's website? I know you can link those usually from the district or search Loring School.
Yep, and just my name's in the staff section there. Sure.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks again for coming in. We certainly appreciate it. And you guys always say this—you're doing great work out there. We all appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And teacher feature again, our guest, if you're curious, this afternoon was Nancy Duenhager, and involved in physical ed and so much more actually over there at Loring. Want to mention as well that support for this feature comes in part from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and Jazz 88.